This podcast is sponsored by Athletic Greens. Now, you've probably heard of Athletic Greens from 1,000 different podcasts, and the reason why I believe is because it works. This is something I've been using every single day, and the biggest things that I've realized for myself is that I have more energy, I rarely if ever get sick, my poops are better, okay? There's multiple benefits here, and if you are interested in trying it, I have a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 AG1 travel packs by using the link drinkag1.com/Farzad. And my gut tells me, no pun intended, that you're going to love this product. Now onto the podcast. All right. So we got Brandon here, who's somebody that is looking to buy his first EV ever. And we have myself and John, who are super familiar with the EV market. And Brandon has been covering the auto market for a long time. He loves cars, but this is his first EV. So I'm super curious to see what Brandon has for us two EV experts, let's say, and that we're here to just answer questions in a truthful manner and see if an EV is right for Brandon. So Brandon, what do you have for
us,
brother?
Let's see if we can get him to drink the Kool-Aid. That's the question. Will you drink the EV Kool-Aid, man?
Let's do it.
So here's the thing. I cover the car market, right? And the EV market is part of the car market. Put that all that aside. Whatever. I want to buy a used EV. And that's why really I'm glad that I was able to have this dialogue with you two, because I want to ask you some questions. Because I don't know really anything about EVs, what I'm getting into, if I should even buy a used one, what I should buy. I probably already know the answer to this, but I'm going into the EV market. Is there a make that you guys would suggest over the other makes? I'm just curious to know about this.
Ford.
Yeah. Damn. I was going to say Chrysler. I was going
to
say,
Okay. So because I already know the answer to that. So why what's the word? Just go with me here. Why a Tesla instead of a Mach-E? Why a Tesla instead of Hyundai or a Kia version of in the EV?
Let's tag team it, Farzad. So you do one answer, I'll do another. We'll just keep going until we can't think of anything else.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so I think, so I want to start by saying that there are actually a lot of different great EVs on the market. There really are. I think if you compare the EV drivetrain versus a gas car drivetrain, the biggest thing you'll notice and realize is that the responsiveness of the drivetrain and how quickly it can get you around in city driving and highway driving, just the comfort of it and the smoothness of it, I think is when you compare EV to gas is two different worlds, and one world is clearly better in my opinion, and that's EV. I do think with Tesla specifically, one of the big ones that actually my wife and I really value is safety. Safety is a big piece that's related to Tesla that's not really talked about enough. Model Y, Model 3, Model S, Model X are some of the best, if not the safest cars on the road today. And it's not really talked about at all. So that for us is a huge one, is safety.
So I would throw in the supercharger network next. And I know that Ford and other manufacturers are getting to the point where they're going to be allowed to use some of the superchargers, but they still have in the United States and the CCS adapter. So if you buy a used car, you're not going to get one with a new NACS adapter on it, which won't be sold by other manufacturers until 2025 at least. So you're always going to have this weird plug thing if you want to go on any kind of road trip or charge not at home. So I think that's a big thing. That's also underappreciated. I've talked to a lot of EV owners, including my neighbors who have an Ioniq, and they're like, wait, we can't go on any road trips because it just sucks. It takes like an hour and a half to charge up every time we stop. And it's like, no, it's just so with Tesla, it's way better. The supercharger network is a huge, huge advantage to it.
I think another one, too, that doesn't get covered, I think, you know, on tech channels, it does, but maybe it's not super well known. But the infotainment system in a Tesla, I generally find to be a lot more responsive, a lot more intuitive. Now, the flip side is you won't have the buttons, right? Like other automakers like to have physical buttons in the infotainment. But if you're somebody who likes tech and appreciates a super smooth interface and easy to use interface and a company that likes to update, like a smartphone, and a company that likes to update their software often, which is another thing about the infotainment system, is that it gets updated all the time. That's another thing that Tesla has on other automakers, in my opinion. They just have a better ecosystem. They're much more advanced. They're tech first instead of what I think other automakers are more tech second.
And I will then, I'll piggyback. The OTA update is for everything, of course, not just the infotainment, which is great. But I will also add the kind of elephant in the room, which is full self-driving. But even if you don't want to pay the $99 a month to rent it, to subscribe to it, the autopilot software that's just the standard software is pretty damn good. I mean, it's lane keeping, it's traffic aware cruise control, and like real lane keeping, not like I've driven other cars that supposedly do that and it doesn't really work. But, you know, it'll actually do lane keeping, and it really, it's basically a subset of Tesla's full self-driving, so it understands the world around it. So I would say that's also a huge advantage that Tesla has. And even if you don't want it today, tomorrow you might want it. And if you buy a Ford or a Volkswagen, you don't get it no matter what. You can't get it. But, you know, with the charging your credit card $99 and you get it, you know, with the Tesla.
And dog mode.
And dog
if you have dogs, dog mode is a big one.
What is dog mode? I haven't heard of that.
Yes, that's another one of the little known things. So when you have your car parked and say you're going into the store, you can turn on dog mode and it basically keeps the climate control at like say 72 while you're in the store, so your dog doesn't cook, and it will have a message on the screen that says my owner will be right back. The cabin temperature is 72 degrees. So if somebody goes up to the car, it's like, oh my God, there's a dog in here. They won't break your window. They'll read the message on the car.
Right. Before we move on, just real quick, the app too. The app too is super underappreciated. That is
that's a good point.
Huge, huge advantage to Tesla.
And I want to get into the feature specific stuff in a little bit. So I want to go into, okay, what kind of things should I buy? What should I be looking for? You guys don't know my budget. So what's, I'm buying a used car. I know about how much I want to spend, and it's I would like to stay under $35,000. I'm fine going a little bit over that if I have to, but from the price, the vehicles that I've seen, the Model S, the Model Y, the threes that I've seen, it seems like $25,000 to $35,000 is going to buy everything that I would want and more. But I don't know if there's a mileage limit that I should cut off on. I don't know if there's a particular, package that I should buy. And I'm really not decided between the three or the S. I will say that I've thrown out the X because the price point, I'm not going to be able to get into one, for that price range. And the Model Y I think is maybe the ugliest car that's on the road.
thanks.
No, I don't want that. It looks frumpy to me. It looks frumpy.
That's damn it.
I know it's mine too.
I'm sorry. It just looks, my wife and I went and looked at a few Teslas today, and we had this conversation. She thinks it looks fine. I think it looks like a car that's been squished down is what it looks like to me, because it's just too tall for how not long it is. And
I will agree with you. It is less than ideal from the side. It looks good from the front, looks good from the back, less than ideal from the side.
Yeah. So I have narrowed it down to the 3 or the S. So I would like to hear you guys' opinion on those two. You know what I'm working with as far as money goes.
Do you know what model years they are? Like the ones that you've been looking at?
So, I mean, $35,000 can buy any used Model 3. It doesn't matter what it is. My next question. So I'm looking at this, and for a Model 3, I looked up the long range. It's $47,000 right now. And if, like, after taxes and stuff, you're paying like $50,000, whatever that's going to cost.
Well, except that you're going to get, unless you're making a lot of money with your family, you're going to get the tax rebate. So it'll be $7,500 cheaper than that.
So let's say I would have to pay $50,000 for a Tesla Model 3 long range.
Okay.
And I look at the used ones that are 2020, 2021, they got 50,000 miles. They're like around $25,000. Why would anyone buy a brand new Tesla right now?
Yeah. So the new Teslas are refreshed. So they came out with a refresh Model 3. What was it, like a few months ago now, John? I think in late 2023, they got released to Europe and Asia, and America just started getting theirs. So it's basically a beefed up Model 3 with new components, internal and external. So it's basically an entire refresh. You get a screen in the back as well. You got better suspension. You got higher quality trim. You got slightly better performance for the performance version, better efficiency, a little bit longer range, so you get a lot of improvements when it comes to the new version, plus a new look and things like that, and better NVH, better noise reduction and whatnot.
Well, then switch that conversation then to the Model Y. Why would anyone buy a brand new Model Y right now?
So that's a good question. So the Model Y right now, the new ones, I believe, do they all get the EV tax credit? Yeah. So if you get the EV tax credit, it sort of shortens the burden by $7,500. And so the price of the new models are priced with that in mind. So a lot of new customers to Tesla are going to be capable of taking advantage of that credit. But if you're somebody that can't take advantage of the credit, then the used car makes a lot more sense because you're not taking advantage of that $7,500 discount.
Let's factor in that $7,500. You're still paying $42,000-$43,000 for that Model Y long range, correct? And then at that point, I'm finding the Model Y is in the same vein as 50,000, 2 years old, whatever, around 25 grand. So it still seems like it makes more sense for the consumer to not buy that new one and buy the 2 year old used one. You can have the same argument with any new vehicle.
Obviously. Well, yeah,
right.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I mean, that's depreciation. I mean, that the cars, you're going to have depreciation off the lot. So a brand new Model Y off the lot, long range is 40 grand on the dot with the EV tax credit, 40 grand, 500. So if you're able to find a $25,000-$30,000 Model Y, I think the used Model Y is a lot closer to the new Model Y because the Model Y hasn't been refreshed. So the value for money you get with the Model Y is going to be a lot greater. Whereas the Model 3, the new Model 3 has a lot more new features that the Model 3 doesn't.
Okay. So that makes more sense on the Model 3 side than it does the Model Y side. This is a rabbit hole thing because with me looking at these prices, and it seems like all these used Teslas are so cheap. And I don't know if it's just a hit on the values from maybe Hertz throwing a lot of them in there, but it just seems like recently, because I've been every couple months or so, I'll check on values of used Teslas just because I know eventually I was going to jump into this market and buy a used Tesla at some point. And it just surprised me when I started looking. I think I texted you like 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh man, these things are cheap. I'm just going to buy one. And I started seeing that. And it's just seemed like the market for the use side is, I won't say cratering, but it seems like it's very, very, very affordable right now to buy a used Tesla.
For sure. Yeah. Do you remember what model year the Model Y was you were looking at?
The Model Y was I believe it was a 2020, and it had like 60,000 miles, and it was $25,000 on the dot.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, because that's 15 grand less than a new Model Y, and it's about 4 years removed. So that sounds about right to me.
And the Model 3s that I'm seeing right around the 2020 to 2021, and they're long range, and let's see, about 50,000 miles on those. And they're anywhere from like 22,000 up to 26,000, depending on how nice they are. And yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
And I think the Model 3s in particular are going to take a big hit right now since a major new refresh just came out. So those guys are probably going to get knocked down even more. I was just looking at Tesla's website, and I don't believe any of the Model 3s now. I thought the performance would count for the tax credit, but it doesn't.
It does.
So
I'm pretty sure it does.
That's weird because I'm looking at the order page right now, and it does not give that option. Include tax credit. Sorry. Yeah, you can do it for these guys. Okay.
Yeah.
So yes. So the other two, so only the performance has the tax credit. Honestly, I want this. That's the reason why I want to buy a new one. I want to buy the new
really
performance.
Really good value for money. Yeah.
And it's cheaper than the long range if you get the tax credit.
Yeah. Which is very weird, but it's outside of Brandon's budget, unfortunately. Yeah,
exactly. Well, too, I want to buy a used one because I really think that there's some information to be put behind, okay, how long will this Tesla last? Can you buy a Tesla with 50, 75, 100,000 miles? And how long is it going to go? And I'll get to those questions too in just a little bit.
I will give you, I can't tell you for everyone, but I know two friends of mine that are Uber drivers and have, one has 200,000 miles on his car. It's a Model 3. And the other one is not quite that much. It's like 170, 180. So, I mean, we're talking about cars that will go a long ways, and those are like 2020, 2021.
Yeah. My dad's got one, I think, 130,000 miles on it, and he commutes 80 miles each way every day. So 150 miles a day.
And I'm seeing a lot of them for sale. I got 150,000 miles, and those are super, super cheap because I think a lot of people they're scared of them and probably shouldn't be. But anyway, so let's look at the two that I'm considering now then. It's the Model 3 and the Model S. And are the big differences between the two as far as what you guys would say for what I'm trying to buy it for? It's not going to be my everyday driver. It's going to be just a spare car or whatever, something to get used to the technology. And that's what I'm looking at for this, is for content creation, for something that to have fun driving, right?
You're not looking at the Plaid. You're looking at the basic Model S. Yeah.
I can't, if I could get a Plaid for $35,000, I would. Yeah.
So you can, because that's the incredible thing is that the Model 3, you're talking $25,000, and the Model S is like, that's a $73,000 new car. That's crazy. You can get a used one for $35,000. That's half price.
So I looked at a Model S today and drove it, and it was super nice. It was a 2018. It had 80,000 miles on it, and it was $26,000. That's the one we looked at today.
That's a very good deal. Yeah. How was the interior? Like, did you feel like the interior was put together well?
Fantastic. It was a very solid car. Didn't hear. I don't know. I mean, I know that they have wheels, so they must have wheel bearings. They have rotors. Yes. They have calipers, that all that stuff, that the stuff that I know to check, that seemed good. So that's the other thing too. When I'm going into this purchase, I don't know what to check on a Tesla. I looked at the battery range. I know it was charged at 73%, and it still said it had 211 miles on the left. And I don't know how accurate that is. I would assume it's pretty accurate because there's probably a math equation on the back end, and it goes down as the battery loses some of the life. I don't know how much battery is lost after 100,000 miles. Those are things I don't know about used Tesla.
With Teslas, most of the degradation happens in the first 50 to 80,000 miles for the battery. So it's kind of like this. It kind of has most of the degradation, and then as the life goes on, it slows down a lot. After 100,000 miles, you probably lose somewhere between, call it, 5-10% of the total range of the battery, slightly less, slightly more, depending on your habits, how you charge it, how long you leave it at 100%, so on and so forth. So, what was it, 80,000 miles, you said? 70,000 miles, something like that? 80,000? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if it's a long range with, say, 300 miles, you should still have at least 270 miles of usable range left in the Model S. The one thing to keep in mind with a 2018 Model S, which I'm going to check now, versus, say, I'm guessing like a 2020, 2021 Model 3, is that the 2018 Model S may not have the latest computer for full self-driving. That's going to have all the updates. So that's one thing to keep in mind, is that if you want to take advantage of all the autonomous stuff that's coming out from Tesla, which I think will help the depreciation of the car long term, I'm going to check that for you. That's one thing to keep in mind. So if that's something that interests you, I would bias towards the car that has that feature. But if that doesn't interest you, then I think it comes down to the other variables.
I will say that we are leaning towards the S for a couple of reasons. I like that there's a cluster behind the steering wheel. From me going from an ICE vehicle and used to having that cluster behind the steering wheel and not having to look down at the Model 3 screen, it's an easier adjustment for me when I sit in the car, because I sat in a Model 3 today and I sat in a Model S. And I will say the Model S feels more like a car that I'm used to, and the Model 3 does not. The steering wheel's bigger. The car's bigger. I have a 5-year-old son, and the back seat is way bigger in the Model S. There's more space back there because he's going to be in a car seat. So his feet are going to be farther ahead than a normal sitting person with their knees right over the seat. So those are things that I also like the hatchback of the Model S versus the small trunk of the Model 3.
And then self-driving, you said in the past, it was not important to you, right? Like, you don't trust the technology. So that's not a big deal for you if the car doesn't have that capability.
I could be open to it later. So if I'm deciding between a 2018 Model S and I can spend a little bit more money, and the 2019 does have it, then I would spend a little bit more money, maybe just to have that functionality that I could potentially use later on. But right now, it's not a selling point. Like, if there's a better Model S than a Model 3, but the Model 3 has the FSD functionality or whatever, it's not going to sway my purchase.
Okay, cool. If for whatever reason you do want that capability, you want cars that are built after April 2019. Those are the ones that will have the, say, Hardware 3 from the gate. I think the 2018 one might still be upgradable to Hardware 3, but you'll have to pay, I think, $1,000 or $2,000 to get the computer upgraded. But since it's not a big deal for you, I think it really comes down to, like, the size for sure the Model S is going to be significantly bigger. You're going to have a lot. Dude, the Model S storage, we had a 2016 and a 2017 Model S, my wife and I, back a few years ago. And we road trip that thing from PA to Texas, and we fit so much stuff in that car. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But the one thing to keep in mind is on road trips, if you do want to take this long distance, I believe the 2018 Model S charging speed is capped at 150 kilowatts, whereas the Model 3 is capped at 250, which means that if you're going on long, say you want to take this thing from wherever you are to, say, I don't know, California or whatever, you're going to be doing more charging stops. You're going to be waiting on them longer than the Model 3. So just something to keep in mind.
So what about, is there a year cutoff? Like, could I go up to a 2020 Model S and be able to get the FSD functionality? Can I get the faster charging with that 2020 model?
Yeah, I think this is my personal opinion, but I think I wouldn't buy a Tesla before your model year 2020, because they made so many major changes, including the faster charging speeds, hardware 3, all of that kind of stuff. So that's just my personal thought. I totally understand and I respect buying used cars because you're letting some other sucker like drive it off the lot and take all the hit, you know. I mean, that's the way it goes. But I don't think I'd buy a 2018, especially. Maybe a 2019 if I was sure it had hardware 3 in it, but I would be looking at a 2020 and I would pay the extra money for the newer model year.
Yeah, so from the prices that I've seen, I feel like I can get a Model S in a 2020 with the 100D. I don't know if they rate them the 75D, the 100D or whatever when they go up to the 2020. I know they change that whatever year. But the bigger battery in the Model S in a 2020 with 50 to 80,000 miles or whatever, I think I can get that for $32,000-$33,000.
Yeah, the big concern I have with used EVs is only the battery. That's the only thing that I care about. And the deal with the Model S is, especially 100 or an equivalent, it's got such a gigantic battery. It's got 400 miles or so new range. So even if it loses a chunk, you still got like 350, which is as much as a new Model 3 has walking out the gate.
Right. And the one that I looked at today, like it looked like it was rated for about 280 to 300 miles. And I feel like for a sidecar that I have, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. 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 But I'm just saying, like, I think if you got a 2020 long range, I can't remember when they switched their model names, but anyway, those things, they bump up pretty close to 400 miles. Like when they were new.
Yeah. So, but I think what Brandon's saying is that for his use case, like, that might be overkill. Right, because it doesn't sound like, are you planning on road tripping this thing at all? Like, how many miles do you think you'll drive it in a session? Let's say when you take it out, what's the maximum?
Oh, yeah, I mean, if I drive it to an auction, which is an hour away, I mean, I might drive 70, 80 miles in a day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, I mean, even if you go with the 2016 model, that's at that point, like it doesn't really matter. Because, and I think the discussion here is like, what's really interesting about this discussion is like the way John and I think about buying an EV is very different than how you're thinking about buying an EV. Because we're much more about like the tech features, the FSD stuff. And that's kind of like what separates a car like Tesla from the other ones, is that because there's such a different dimension to purchasing that car, whereas you're looking at it much more from a traditional perspective of like, I just want it to fit my needs from what I want from a car, because I know what I want from a car and I want this thing to do car stuff, right? So I would say that if you're looking for it to do car stuff, I would personally pick the Model S over the Model 3, because you get a little bit more luxurious interior, you get a lot more space, you do get that thing behind the steering wheel, the screen behind the steering wheel, so you have the two screen, so it's a little bit more traditional. You'll still get autopilot with it for the highway if you want to use that, and it's going to be super useful and it's going to be fast as hell. It looks good. It also has a moonroof, right? A sunroof, I believe. The 2018.
The one I was in today had the full moonroof. I could not figure out how to open it. I don't know if it opens.
But it's in the screen.
I didn't know they opened. That's cool. Yeah, wow. And said open sunroof, and it said okay, opening sunroof. And it didn't open. So maybe there's a problem with that. I don't know. That's the kind of stuff I don't know. Like, I don't know how to check the tech.
I will say with the Model 3, if you're, it really, like, I like the Model 3 better than the Model S because I'm very much a sports car kind of guy. And I really love how small the Model 3 is, and it feels fast. Even we just have the single motor one, you know, we don't even have the high rent Model 3, but it just feels fast because it's low. And anyway, But if you're concerned about, I can never remember the name of that thing. I keep thinking gargoyle, but there's like a technical name for that display thing behind the wheel. But my wife was super concerned when we bought our first Tesla, but after like a day. It doesn't even take like a full day. And then you're just looking to the side. And honestly, when I drive my mom's car now, it freaks me out because I'm like, where the hell's the display? So, you know, you get used to it. Your eyes get retrained. It doesn't take that much time.
Yeah. And I feel like I could get used to that. It's just there's a, it feels like there's a lot of things, mainly just going back to the size of that's pushing me towards the Model S. Now it's going to be more expensive, but I'm willing to pay a little bit more money for the Model S for a older year if I have to, just to make it feel more like I'm making a transition here. So I want it to feel as much like a car and not like I'm driving a computer as possible.
Then you've picked the perfect car in that Model S 2018. I really do think so. I don't think for bang for your buck, performance, feel, look, driving dynamics, safety, technology, sound system. So what do you daily now? Like what cars do you drive right now? Do you have sedans or trucks? Like what or SUVs?
I've got an RX 350 and my wife's got a Toyota Venza. I mean, they're the same car. So it's just a small SUV is what I'm driving now. Before I had this RX 350, I had a big F-150 like a couple months ago. And then I have 75 cars, so I'll drive different stuff all the time.
I think the model, you're going to be very happy with the Model S. It sounds like that's the right car for you, especially if you look into transition. You're going to have a little bit more familiarity, even though like the screen is going to be a big adjustment. I think at first, at least you have two of them, whereas the Model 3 you just have the one. You just I guess they both have stocks. The new Model 3s don't. Then new cars don't even have stocks anymore, except for the Model Y. So that would be like another thing to get used to. So yeah, it sounds like you're going down the right path with that Model S.
I would just throw into future proof yourself. I would still look at a 2020 model just because if you're eventually probably going to want to use the full self-driving features, even if it's just to test it, because you said part of what you want to do is just be able to generate content and think about it. So you kind of want to have that option. So I would pay a few extra $1,000 to get a 2020 model.
Or just buy that one too on top of the 2018. And that one's for your wife and that one's for you.
We're not doing that. We are going to try to be somewhat responsible with this purchase.
Yeah. You will definitely future-proof yourself with the newer models with FSD for sure. 100%.
I think more than the FSD is the supercharging. Would make me want to spend the more money to get the 2020 if it charges faster at the supercharger. Because yes. I don't want to say that, okay, if we want to take it 600 miles away, I want at least the option to not have to sit at a supercharger for 45 minutes.
It'll definitely save you. Like let's say with the 2018 model, you would have to say charge for 40 minutes. The new model, you'd have to charge for 25. So it will definitely save you. Like it won't save you the entire 40 minutes. You'll probably get like a 10 to 20% savings in time, especially at the lower battery percentages. So the way EVs work when you charge them is the first 20 to 30% from 0 to 30 is the fastest. So that's where you get peak power. And as the battery fills up, your charging curve slows down. The one analogy Elon Musk uses for charging a battery is like an empty parking lot. When you have an empty parking lot at a mall and then customers are coming in, it's extremely easy to find a parking spot. And the electrons are the cars, and the parking spaces are like the spots in the battery. But when the parking lot's full
within the battery, correct?
Exactly. But as the parking lot gets full, it gets harder to find a parking spot. And that's literally how a battery works. The more full it is, the slower it charges, just to keep that in mind. Yeah, so like when you're road tripping, you want to keep the state of charge as low as you can so that when you stop at a charging spot at a supercharger, you have the lowest amount of time at the charger.
All right, so you guys have talked me into Tesla Model S. We're going to buy that. Okay,
cool.
So congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. So thinking about charging, like I'm still zero aware of, I know I can go to a charging station. I went to one with you, John, with your Model Y. Saw you plug it up. I get that. By the way, I did look up charging stations in my area. There are like three within like 20. I'm near Charlotte.
I was going to say you live in a really good spot. I live in Athens and that's not even that big. And we still have
I was saying it's horrible. There's only three with like in 20 minutes of me.
No. That's
terrible.
That's plenty.
Oh, so you're going to charge at home.
Yeah.
You're never going to charge.
Do you have a garage?
I do have a garage. I'm not going to be parking the car inside of it though.
But I mean, as long as you can run a power cord outside, you just plug it in.
Yeah. So tell me, walk me through this.
So in terms of superchargers, right, that's just dirt simple because on your app, you put your credit card information in, and then there's not even like a kiosk or anything like that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So I got to give Elon my credit card information? Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to do that when you buy the car. Should. Yeah, that's right. Give the man your credit card. But anyway, yeah. Once you associate that with your app, it like you just take it out of the thing, plug it into your car, and it just works. You never even, it's just magic. As far as at home is concerned, you have two options, basically. You can either do 120 charging, 110 charging with just a regular like plug it in the wall thing. That goes at about 3 to 4 miles an hour charging speed, very slow. If you want to have a reasonable chance of charging, if you're just driving it once in a while, that could be okay. If you want to have a reasonable chance of charging it up, you'll want to hook it up to a 250 or 240 volt, sorry. Which the easiest way to do it is just to split off a dryer thing. That's what I've got, is just a box that's in my dryer that splits my dryer and the charger. Or you can install something outside, just put in a separate 240 line, and then it'll charge up. You know, I don't know. It's overnight. I never know exactly.
30 miles an hour, 30 to 40 miles an hour, depending on the car.
Yeah. So it'll go fast. It'll charge up in 8 hours overnight, you know,
which that would be plenty.
Yeah. For your use case, that's a lot.
Okay. So what if it's raining and I want to charge outside? Is that,
I do that at my, I do that at my mom's house all the time. It pours in Washington, D.C. every time I go, and I just have,
you just got to wear rubber gloves. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah.
It's very smart. The connector is actually far inside, and the way the charging port is, it covers it. And because it's so far in, I don't know. It's just, I've
been an issue.
I've plugged it in with a completely wet connector before and been like, this is a terrible idea, and it just does fine. It doesn't care.
All right, charging's taken care of. That seems easy enough. Maintenance. What do you have to do for maintenance? When do you get the, at what intervals do you get the oil changed?
Zero.
Every 7,500 miles, get that oil changed, baby. Windshield washer fluid. Windshield washer fluid. That's the thing that's the most annoying maintenance issue.
Yeah. And like tires. Yeah. No, so we have a, it's like that, yeah. For sure. Yeah. So we have our Model Y, our 2021 Model Y. We have 60,000 miles on it. The only thing I've had to do is tires and windshield washer fluid. That's it. There is no recommended like service checkup with Tesla. Really, they just give you the car and then they put you on your merry way. And I've known a lot of people that own Teslas that the only thing that they have to do is tires and windshield washer fluid. If you do need something done, let's say like a sensor fails, or you know your door latch or whatever, your window mechanism or whatever needs changed, you know, definitely check and see where the Tesla service centers are near your area. But Tesla also offers mobile service, which is basically if for certain jobs where they don't need a lift, they'll just send a van out to your location and they'll do the repair right there. The prices are reasonable. I mean, they're not going to be like your local, you know, Joe's car garage prices on a Toyota Corolla or something. But I find that, you know, for the type of car that you drive, they're very, very reasonable. I don't think, and I've barely, if ever, had to use them before. So it's just purely tires and windshield washer for me, for my use case anyway.
So, yeah. So I know that tires have been a higher frequency for a lot of, for Teslas. They're heavier cars, right?
It's because I tend to burn rubber with them. They're so much fun to accelerate.
That's very easy to drive fast. Yes.
So how many miles will about what 30. Intervals do you have to change tires?
About 30.
Yeah. I have performance P0s on mine, and I've had to change mine every like 20 to 30,000 miles. But I also drive it. I drive it with spirit from time to time.
And this might be a stupid question. Are there different kind of tires that you have to have with the Tesla rims
Yeah, there's better and worse.
There's better and worse. Like the ones you want is lower rolling resistance tires so that you get more range.
Oh, I was going to say also the they have like the quiet interior, the foam or whatever that's inside it. They're EV specific tires. If you go to like Pirelli tire, whatever tire shop, they like have they'll tell you, or you can just have, you can order them from Tesla too, but I found that they're a little on the expensive side to order them from them.
Like we have a tire shop that we use, so we can get wholesale prices on tires, but I would assume that these tires are going to be more expensive than the tires that I'm going to put on my Lexus, right?
Not than your
they
Lexus.
Might be the same, honestly. They might be the same. Yeah, as long as you have the right, they're going to be wider. So like the they'll be more expensive, especially with the Model S, because the Model S does have a sportier tire because it does have a wider rim. Because, you know, one of the things that it prouds itself in is acceleration. And so to get really good acceleration, you want more contact with the road. So you'll definitely pay more for the tire, I would assume, than your Lexus, but probably not that much more, if I were to guess. How much you pay for a tire now for the Lexus?
Well, I mean, my wife has the same, it's a Venza, so it's the same tire size and everything, but we just bought Pirellis for her, and they were like $1,200 for four.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Not that far off. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's about right.
Yeah. Maybe 350. Yeah. For the Model S.
I want to go back to the, you talked about repair stuff. So I've watched, I don't know how many videos now, and something that always comes up in these videos is build quality. And what I get concerned about is if there are big build quality concerns, I've also heard that there's been a lot of repairs from a lot of these owners that I'm watching on YouTube that have these Teslas. You two are saying that that hasn't been your experience, but this is what I'm seeing from all these other videos. But you were saying that if anything goes wrong, I can take it to the service center, but there's only literally one place that I can get this stuff fixed, and that's through Tesla. Am I hearing this correctly?
Depends on what it is. Yeah, depends on what it is.
We had somebody backed into our Model 3 just after we bought it, which really sucked. And they just hit, like, they just dinged the quarter panel. But, you know, that's expensive. But anyway, their insurance covered it. But we just took it to a local body shop that was approved of by Tesla. So they didn't repair it themselves.
Yeah, so it depends what kind of job it is. If it's a body shop work, it's going to be approved by Tesla or Tesla themselves. Or you can take it to somebody who's not approved by Tesla that wants to do the job, which I don't know how they would, because then they have to get access to Tesla's system. But a lot of body shops do work on Teslas nowadays. But if you do want, like, say, window regulator fix and stuff like that, what Tesla does is they make it really easy on your app to just schedule the appointment. And you'll get mobile service as well as a benefit. I've never used anything but a Tesla service location for any of, like, the handful of issues I've had. But that's because they've been so rare and so convenient that I just, like, I don't even have to leave my house, you know? So, but I'm sure there are shops out there that would work on Teslas if you ask around.
Yeah. And for example, like when you, like, so, you know, you need to rotate your tires once in a while, and you have probably, because of your job, you probably have access to a lift and all that stuff, and you can do it yourself. But if you don't, you can always take it to a local tire place. Because I live kind of in a weird place that's far away from the Tesla service center. So it's a little difficult for them to get out to me sometimes, and I don't feel like driving an hour just to go get my tires rotated. So I just take it down to the corner, and those guys do it. So it's just changing tires. You just have to have these little plastic pucks to lift it on, because the underbody is very heavy, and it has to, I don't know. Otherwise it can dent the bottom of the thing if you don't have the pucks.
And do you find using, like, you two are old enough to have other cars other than Tesla before Tesla, right? Lots. So yes. Do you find, that the service that you've had to do on, or any sensors that you've had to fix, any window regulators, whatever you've had to do on these, do you feel like it's roughly the same price as what you would have to pay to another garage for a ICE vehicle, or do you feel like it's a little bit more?
It's all been covered. I've never had to pay for anything, I don't think.
Under warranty, you mean?
Yeah, it's just been under warranty. Because I had one time when the window was rolling up kind of slowly. And the crazy thing, so here's nuts. You do the service thing on your app. They then diagnose your car remotely and go like, oh yeah, we see that the motor's having some sort of jamming issue. And then they send somebody out and they fix it. So they already know exactly what the problem is before they get there. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, I will echo that too. So the handful of things that I've had to do. So the few things I've had to do is I had a tire sensor that was out on the rim on my Model Y that had to get replaced. Then when in the first week there was some wind noise that was coming from the driver's side window that sounded like a whistle. They covered that under warranty and they fixed that. Then on my Model S, let me see, what was the, I think it was a trim on the rear seat right side that was rattling. Tesla covered that under warranty. So like any of these like little things they covered on the warranty. So outside of the warranty, I'm not really sure what the prices would be. I used to work at Tesla and I know what the costs were for them. And from what I saw from the data internally, it didn't look like it was unreasonable or outside of the bounds of what you usually pay for, say, the equivalent car. Now, I also used to drive a Saab 9-3, the two cars before the Model S that we had. And that car cost me thousands of dollars and it broke all the time, but I freaking love that car. I love that car to this day, but I hated owning it. So, and I can tell you Model S is way more affordable than a Saab 9-3.
I think this is a bigger issue is that people don't understand the total cost of ownership. Cause I had like a Mazda RX-8, which I absolutely adored, but that sucker with the Wankel engine, you know, the rotary engine and stuff, it ate oil and I was constantly putting oil and changing things. And none of that. If you're a total gearhead and motorhead and all you love to do is just open up the hood and tinker around in your car, you're going to hate this car because there's none of that. I mean, you just get in and it works and you never have to worry about it. And it doesn't cost money because nothing really goes wrong with it. It's an electric motor.
Did you see that report from Consumer Reports that they came out with about a week ago, Brandon, where they had like the 5 and 10 year costs of a Tesla? Did you see that from them?
I saw it on one of your two videos. There's one of you that covered the cost. I can't remember which one of you
must
it was.
Have been Farzad. Probably, I don't think I did explicitly.
Yeah, probably Farzad. Yeah. But I saw you pulled up the charts or whatever of how much it costs to own the vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah, over 5 to 10 years, Tesla is the number one cheapest car to own over five, beating Toyota, Honda, et cetera, et cetera. And that's sort of like the reason why is exactly what we're describing is because there's barely anything to fix and anything that does go wrong, Tesla will take care of within warranty and then it's never an issue ever again. And they come to you and they fix it. And that's one of the main reasons why. But EVs naturally just have an advantage from a maintenance perspective because there's just nothing, there's nothing breaks. There's nothing there to break.
There's very few moving parts.
So with the weight on the vehicle, like I'm thinking of the mechanical side, what I have to deal with on a daily basis, like the car has to have wheel bearings. It has to have weight that's extra weight that's put on the calipers because of the braking that's in the system. If you're going faster, you're going to brake harder, I would assume.
You hardly ever use your brakes. Right. The brakes last forever. I don't even know. Do you know anybody who's ever replaced their Tesla brakes? Unless you're a race car driver. I mean, if you
we had a guy come in and replace his at 260,000 for the first time miles. But that's because when the car slows down, it doesn't use brakes. It uses regen braking. So it puts the motor in reverse. This is like a very stupid way of describing it. Puts the motor in reverse and then it uses that friction to slow down the car and that recharges the battery. You only really use the brakes in emergency situations or if you're driving like a maniac. And even then, if you're depending on how often you're driving like a maniac, you're not really using your tires very often or your brakes very often.
I was going to say, it's like what you do is, I don't know if Farzad's like this, but I'm like, if I have to touch the brakes on a drive, I feel like I've lost. I'm always like, dude, I should never have to touch the brakes.
My ego is not that big.
Oh, okay. Well, my ego is big. I'm always like, don't touch the brakes.
My wife drove a Tesla today for the very first time. Today was my second time ever driving a Tesla. Driving yours, John. Yeah. So she got to experience the brakes, non-brakes system. And it's alarming for someone who I remember when I drove John's and I did zero research. I hadn't even watched a Tesla video before I got into John's and like, it scared me the first time. Something's wrong here. I don't know what it is, but wrong.
And again, it goes the opposite direction. If you drive that thing for a couple of weeks and you go to a gas car, you're like, what is wrong with this car? It's not stopping.
It's terrifying, dude. I rented a gas car. Like, I think it was like a year after driving one and I was in California. I think I rented like a, what was it? Like a tiny little, Honda. I forget which one it was, but I let go of the gas as I'm coming to the stops at a stoplight and the car just kept going and I'm like, what's going on? Why? It felt like I was in an out of control, like runaway train. I'm like, oh shit, right. I have to press the brake. So like I 1000% connect with what you just said, just completely the opposite way. And I'm curious to see if you'll experience that too. Like, you know, depending how often you drive it and how much you like the driving dynamics, I bet you'll experience that too. After a while, you do definitely get used to it. And I prefer it because you don't really have to just like, you kind of forget that the brake's even there. It's just, it's one pedal driving. It comes to full stop when you let go and everything. I prefer truly, just because it just makes it a lot easier. And it's a lot more responsive too. So I feel like if you want to drive very smoothly, there's no gear shifts. It's very like, it feels very linear in the way like you put your pedal down. You just feel like you have a very intimate control with the drivetrain. Whereas with a gas car, it's a little bit harder to do, especially in an automatic, whereas you don't even know when the freaking transmission box is going to change, shift gears. So I think you'll appreciate it the more you drive it, is my guess.
And so my wife went with me today, and she had a question that she wanted me to ask you, gentlemen. She said, WTF is up with the cup holders?
I agree. They're tiny. They're small. They're not American size. They're European size cup holders. They're not American size cup holders.
Well, the thing about the Model S is it's right where your armrest is. So if you want that to too. Rest your arm and also have a drink, you can't do both.
It ain't happening.
Really? No. I haven't owned a Model S, so I didn't realize that. That would suck. Wow. Yeah. Have they fixed that in the more recent versions of the S or not? I wouldn't know.
I think so. I think they moved it to the lower tray. But yeah, because you have to like move
like in the three, you have like the
Yeah. And the Model S, you have to move the thing back, and then that's where the cup holders are, and then you move it forward. Yeah. It's European, bro. It's a European inspired design. With that
it felt like I was in a BMW because the BMW has the tiny little cup holder that comes out of the dash, and it's the most ridiculous. I love driving a BMW.
You're not supposed to have soda in the car, Brandon. You're going to spill it everywhere, bro. Exactly. Have some respect. Jeez.
I am paying $30,000, $25,000, whatever it's going to cost for a used vehicle that I don't care about. So it's that makes it sound terrible. It's a lot of money, right? I'm spending a lot of money on a car, and I do want to take care of it, but I'm going to drink in the car.
Yeah, I respect it for sure.
I have gotten used to this because even in the Model Y, the cup holders are not huge. And so they tend to, you know, if you go over bumps and stuff. And so I've gotten used to like kind of holding my coffee like this as I drive when I know a bump's coming up and then putting it back down again. So, yeah. Cause those white seats, they terrify me. White seats. Like my wife was like, we got to get white seats. And I'm like, oh my God.
What color is the Model S?
The one that I looked at today was blue. I don't want a blue. Like I know that I can find one that I want between $26,000 and $35,000. I want to buy probably a black one. And I know that I want the one with the biggest battery. So it's the 100D or whatever the equivalent is in the 2020.
Yeah. I think it'd be called a long range after I can't remember what year changed.
And I'm probably not going older than a 2017.
Nice.
Is there a certain mileage that I should be like, you would be scared to buy it over a certain mileage?
What's the warranty? Is it 110? Like that's the big magic number in my mind.
It depends, because some model years had 8-year unlimited miles. Yeah, but then a 2017 would be out next year of warranty. But battery failures, I mean, so again, from somebody that used to work at the company, who worked in the service distribution network, who saw every single part that flowed through the service channel, a high voltage battery, the battery of the car was so incredibly rare to ship out. That I know for a fact these things almost never fail. So that's never an issue for me. And even when the company was ramping up, the number of batteries we shipped didn't really change that often, which told me that the per unit reliability of the battery was getting even better over time. So from my standpoint, the only thing that I would be concerned about with battery, like old batteries, is just the amount of range remaining. But after the first 100,000 miles, the degradation slows down dramatically. So in reality, it's like how many miles do you want to drive it, you know, over the course of ownership. And if it's, you know, less than 100 miles a day, you could do with a 300,000 mile battery and you'll be fine, in my opinion.
And how accurate is the car at telling me how much a full battery range is?
Not very. it's optimistic. But the good thing is there's a trip meter. So if it says 300 miles, you're not going to get 300 miles, at least if you don't drive it. If you drive 35 without any stop signs or any traffic lights, sure, you'll get 300 miles, but you won't. But there's a trip meter, and it like brings up a full screen and it shows you your trip plan and exactly where you are and if you're like above or below. And that one I trust because it's dead on. It's really, really accurate. And it'll tell you like you'll end your trip at, you know, 27 miles left on your battery or something like that. And so you can be very confident.
I definitely want that. So here's my concern then by hearing that from you, John, is that, okay, I'm going to go buy a used car. I want to know how much the battery has lost.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not that. It's just, it's always optimistic. When you buy the car day one, it's always optimistic. So use what, as far as what's your formula?
What he means. So what he means is like, let's say when you buy the brand, the Model S brand new in 2017, and it says 300 miles of range, depending on your driving style. Like, let's say you drive like somebody who follows the law to a T, you'll get within 5% of that mileage, is my experience of like the estimated miles on the battery. Especially if you're driving it in like, you know, 60 to 80 degree weather, there's no rain, there's no heavy winds, you'll get within 5% of the rated range. If you drive like a regular person, you'll get within 10 to 15% of that rated range. Within that, if you drive like a maniac, you'll be within 20% of that range.
Goes down. So it's not like the car today is telling you whatever that original mileage was, there's some percentage less. So it's not lying to you in the sense of it's still telling you it has the original mileage. It knows that the battery's degraded. So it's not sitting there going like, yeah, you still have 300 miles. It's going like, no, yeah, you're now.
It won't have the original. Exactly. So it will be adjusted down to that, what it is, but depending on how fast you drive it, if you drive it in rain, if you drive it in cold, and whatever else. So like the way to think about it is, in the worst case scenario, like say 0 degree weather, you're driving like a maniac and you have your heat bumping and it's windy and it's snowing, you'll get 50% of the range. So if it says 200 miles, plan for 100. In a best case scenario, it'll be very close to the 200.
Okay. So let me put this into like the perspective that I'm looking at when I'm going to look at this used car. So this, look at this one that I looked at today is 2018. It said at 73% battery, it had, I think, 270 miles. So that thing full is rated for 300 miles, right? So is that, when I fill it up and it says 300 miles, is that true to it, or is that true to the battery that's true to it now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So I can know what the full battery range is today when I go look at a used vehicle. That's important.
Correct. Under ideal conditions. Yeah, that range is under ideal conditions. Yeah.
And I know there's going to be a margin of error depending on how you drive and everything, but I want to know that battery is not 50% of what it was when it was brand new. Okay.
Nope.
But I can tell that today.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
By the rated range on the battery. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It adjusts that. So Farzad, what is your formula? I want to know this because I want to be able to use it.
If you're grandma style, 5 to 10%, regular person, 15 to 10%, maniac, 20% plus.
Thought you were going to give me like multiply by X raised to the second power.
No, I'm a simpleton.
All right. So I want you guys to take off your Tesla bull hats for this question right here. I know that when I'm looking at, when I'm doing my research, it's very apparent that there are two sides and there's no middle ground. Everything that I've seen is either I love Tesla, I love everything about it, I don't find a lot of fault with it, or I find all these faults with it. And so what I want to do is I want to hear from the non-Tesla bulls that have owned Teslas for a long time. What negatives about these cars do the Tesla bulls just say, oh, it's a Tesla, it's fine, I can live with it? What are those things? One thing that I feel like I've learned is, and I heard it in John, your car, is road noise. Horrible. It's in the Model Y that I rode in yours, it was so loud in there. And that's not something I experienced with this Model S that I just drove. But what are those little nuances that I'm going to not hear about from Tesla bulls, because they're just like, oh, it's just a Tesla thing, we don't even need to talk about
it. I think honestly, the road noise is more because there's no engine to cover it up. Like, you just, because you're not hearing an engine, you hear it really loud.
He said, take off your Tesla bull hat, John.
I did. But I'm just saying, like, but no, well, okay. So the Model S is it's a significantly more expensive car with a lot more luxury features. So they've got sound dampeners and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I totally admit it because it is loud. But I think that the reason why you notice it is because you're not hearing, that kind of a thing that's covering up that sound. But yeah, it's not quiet. I totally agree with you. I noticed the road noise.
Yeah, I can give you a few. So I think, especially for the before this sort of 2020, 2021 model years would have started honing in a little bit of the quality, NVH, noise, vibration, harshness, stuff like that, where they started really maturing as a car company. So like for like price brackets. So if you buy, depending what you can find, like let's say 2017 BMW 5 Series or a Mercedes E-Series or something like that, you will get better materials and trim inside the car for sure, 100%. You'll get a quieter cabin as well. You'll get a little bit more refinement around like the luxury features of the car, whereas the Tesla will be much more focused on the on the technology aspect of it and the performance. That's where Tesla really excels. The driving dynamics as well, but we'll set that for another day. I think depending on where you live, service availability could be an issue. So if there's only like one or two shops, or say only one shop in a metro area that hasn't traditionally had a lot of Teslas and Tesla hasn't expanded, your wait times for service might be longer than usual. So that's another thing to keep in mind as well. And body shop availability as well. So again, so if you're sort of in an area where Tesla hasn't grown a lot and you get into an accident, you may have to wait multiple weeks to get your car back. So those are the big ones that stick out to me. If you're a more well-developed metro areas, I don't think those are really issues anymore. But like the stuff around like the model and par for par, you're really just giving up. You're giving up attention to detail and like true luxury features for technology and driving dynamics and performance that are well beyond the price point. And it's not like you're getting a piece of crap car. You're just getting a car that doesn't have the refinements that the other cars would from that model year.
I can also say that, I mean, this is neither a positive or a negative, but clearly Tesla has gone with the Scandinavian concept of, you know, just absolute minimalism, right?
Yes,
you can see that from the trim and everything like that. And so it feels like walking, I don't know if you've ever been to one of those Scandinavian furniture stores where you walk in and there's like one chair, one couch, and you know, it's just like these like super minimalist. And so they've kind of gone that direction with their interior. And if you like that, then it works. And I personally happen to like that. If you like the like, oh, I want a festoon with buttons and I want it to look like super complicated, like a spaceship or something, like a BMW or a Mercedes, you know, you're not going to appreciate that because it's a different aesthetic. It's a different feeling.
And that's one of the reasons why I think I've gravitated toward the Model S too, is there's like there's freaking buttons in there. Like there's stuff I can push other than a screen. There's levers that I can pull. There's buttons on the steering wheel. Like I like that. That's a better transition for me coming from driving ICE via these big trucks that have just dashes full of buttons. And like I don't want just one screen. And I think that's another reason why I'm gravitating to the S as opposed to the 3.
And if you want that more luxury feel too, it definitely feels more luxurious.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's like more of a subjective thing, where it's like depends, you know, what floats your boat. But I think there is a learning curve for sure. That screen will be a learning curve for you 100%, especially if you're used to the buttons and you appreciate buttons. But yeah, it'll be an adjustment period. And some people, I think even if they've owned it forever, that's still one of their dislikes. They're like, man, I wish I had more buttons so I could just press this button and make the AC go up. Even though you can customize the scroll wheels to do your AC stuff, and after a while you get used to where the screen position is, that'll be something that you'll have to get used to. And you should get used to it. It's a learning curve.
Yeah, I will say I didn't like going through all the menus to go to all the different systems in the car. That was it's not intuitive, right off the get-go, I don't feel like.
It's again, it's sort of like having a phone. I remember when I got like, you know, the iPhone first, I had to like dig around and figure out where everything was. And eventually it becomes muscle memory. But the big thing to remember is that almost everything is available through the voice commands. So, you know, you push the right button in and just say like, open the glove box or set the temperature to 73 degrees, or it'll just do it for you. So or enter car wash mode. That's a good one because I can never remember where the car wash mode is. And it's just like, boop, enter car wash mode. And it just goes into car wash mode.
That's interesting because my wife, she's doing more research almost than I am, looking at some of this Tesla stuff. And she said that it was ill-advised, whatever article she was reading, that it was ill-advised to take your Tesla through a car wash.
Oh,
tell me about
supposedly it has soft paint, but I've got a ceramic coating on mine, so it doesn't matter.
I've taken my cars through car washes all the time. It's meh.
Okay. Meh. Well, what she was concerned about is if there was something that could get into the sensors, whatever. She's concerned about having all this technology all around. And what we deal with on a daily basis is sensors breaking all the time. We deal with that all day, every day with the cars. Now, I'm dealing with cheap cars, right? So we're having stuff that we have to fix all the time. And there's so many things, if you're talking about the FSD mode, that car that Tesla needs to be able to function properly. How often do these sensors go out?
Rarely, if ever. The best way to put it, like the way I would frame it is the way I think about car companies and sensors and technology, because it's really technology, sensors, right? Legacy automakers are car makers that are doing technology. Tesla is a tech company that's doing cars. That's the way I think about it. And that's a lot of their reliability comes from their expertise and the technology. And the technology is sensors, computers, et cetera, et cetera. That's one of the most reliable aspects of the car. Are there failures? Of course. Are they extremely rare? Yes. It's like I would equate it to like a transmission blowing out on a gas car. That's not something that happens very often. That's literally what happens with a Tesla screen or a Tesla computer. It's extremely rare. Yeah. And if it does happen, like let's say it happens, it's almost always covered under warranty if it does happen. But they're extremely rare. I've never had remotely even an issue with those things. The only sensor that broke for me was a tire sensor, which was just off the shelf like any other car in the tire. And it was actually seated incorrectly. That's why it failed. They just reseated it and it worked.
And I was going to say the other thing is that you're buying a used car and the odds are very high that any failure of something like that is going to happen in the first 10,000 miles, right? It's unlikely that you're going to have a failure happen.
40 to 50,000.
Okay, but I'm just saying. So, you know, it's already, and also it's still within the warranty period. So, you know.
So does that mean if I buy this Model S, let's say I buy a 2020 Model S, it's got 60,000 miles on it. I'm still covered under what kind of warranty am I still covered under with Tesla?
Depending on what you buy and what model year it is. I think a 2020 Model S, I can't remember if they still have the unlimited mile warranty, but it's I think the Teslas now have 8 year 150,000 miles, John.
Yeah, there's different things for different
You guys are supposed to know this.
Yeah, sorry. I know what it John is for supposed mine. To know this. I know what it is for mine. I just don't know what it is for everybody else's. So sorry.
I come to you guys for this information.
Okay,
this
okay. I'm on Tesla's website here. Okay. So they say that the Model S is 8 years or 150,000 miles, whichever comes first, and the Model 3 is 8 years or 100,000 miles. The Model 3 long range is 8 years or 120, which is also the Model Y. That's why I knew. I was like, mine I know is 120,000 because I'm definitely going to get there before 8 years.
Yeah, you'll definitely be covered through next year. And then after next year, then you're out of pocket because the warranty will be out after 8 years.
Well, unless you get a 2020, okay. In which case it will go on.
Unless you get a 2020.
Yeah. That's probably what I'll lean to just so I can, just for the benefit of the FSD. Obviously, if I can find one within the range that I want to spend, but I think from looking at the prices, I think I can.
Then you'll get the best of all worlds if you do that. If you go for the 2020, you'll get
FSD. I'm a little jealous. You'll
get the warranty.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Okay, so what's your prediction for me? How do you feel like I'm going to, 6 months from now, we're going to pull up and have a conversation like this? What is your anticipation of what I'm going to say about this car?
You're going to have a Cybertruck on order is my anticipation. I think it's going to happen.
I think you'll gain a new appreciation for the driving dynamics of an electric vehicle. I think you'll notice a big difference when you're alternating between your electric vehicle and your gas car. So you're going to miss the responsiveness. You're going to miss the smoothness. You're going to miss the fun. From just having a car like that. I don't think you will appreciate the technology just because I don't think that's just what you're looking for. You're looking much more for a car. It just sounds like you really appreciate the engineering and the mechanics of a car more than the technology. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting. But I think that will really impress you. I think it will give you an idea that it will definitely be the future. There needs to be a transition that needs to happen to get people comfortable with the technology. And I think you'll come away with improvements that say if they did this and this and this, I would only own EVs. And I think that's what this car will do to you, in my opinion.
I do. And I think actually the Model S, for somebody who's wanting to do an easy in transition, because it's a 2012 and it was their first mainstream model, they intentionally made it. Now, I know the 2020 is not the 2012, but they intentionally made it feel a lot like a gas car. You know, so they wanted people to be comfortable moving from a gas car to that car. And so I think, especially with the Model S, you're going to feel right at home really fast. And I was joking about the Cybertruck, but I do think this, you're going to go like, oh, I like electric cars, and you're probably going to drive it more than you think you are right now. That's my prediction.
And another prediction I have is you'll find excuses to go drive it. Uh-huh. You might drive it more than you think.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah, you'll drive it more than you think.
I could see that happen. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about it too is we're not putting it through our business or whatever, so it's not going to stay locked up here at the shop. So my wife is going to have access to be able to drive this all the time too. So she looked at the Model Y today. She actually really likes the Model Y.
It's a good family car. It's a really good family car. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I for my use case, I like it more than the Model S. Because it, you do have, yeah, you have slightly more room, and it's just, you know, we're looking to, you know, we have a baby here in a month, and having just the car seat just will fit better in the Model Y. It's not going to be as hard because it sits higher to the ground. And then we had a 75D Model S, and we have a Model Y Performance. The Performance is faster. So I get my jollies off with the Model Y more than I did with the Model S.
I bought the regular, but then I bought the upgrade for the faster acceleration. So I got my jollies just with the long range. But the other thing is, like, you know, the Model Y is practical. I've put lumber in there. We just put a 75-inch freaking television in the back of that thing. That's pretty good.
You can do it with the Model S too.
Can you really? Yeah. A 75-inch TV? Holy crap.
Okay. Dude, the Model S is giant, bro. That hatchback and the fold down back seat, and you have the cubby under the tray too, and it has a pretty big front trunk. Dude, that it's a legit car.
Oh yeah, let's not forget. No matter which one you get, the front trunk is a big deal. And my wife, I go climbing, and so I have stinky climbing shoes, so they live in the frunk, and she's very happy about that. She's like, I don't have to smell it. They live in the frunk, and we have a cooler.
Yeah, because I take my gym bag a lot and throw it in the back of my car, and it just ends up smelling up the whole car. So that's interesting. Yep. That's one of the big reasons why I'm leaning towards the Model S too, is because the trunk on the Model 3 sucks. And the one on the Model S, you can fold the seats forward and you're just open to the cabin at that point.
Cavernous.
You can do that with the 3 too, but it just doesn't give you as much space.
Well, there's like a ledge there.
The opening is much smaller.
Yeah, like there's that. A ledge. No. There's no comparison. The S has got a way bigger trunk.
And the S front trunk is a lot bigger too than the Model 3. A lot bigger. Model S has a big front trunk.
All right. Well, while you fellas have me here, do you have any questions for me?
Are you scared?
Why are you scared? That's a good one. I was going to say the same thing. Are you scared? Why now? Like, why pick this thing?
So, well, I can tell you why now. And my wife and I had this conversation a week ago because she was like, you were like anti buying an EV because we have to park it outside and you don't want to do it. But the reason why things kind of change is because I started looking at prices over the last 2 weeks. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to park a $50,000 car outside charging outside the garage or whatever, but if it's a $25,000 or a $30,000 car, I mean, I can take a little bit of, there's not a lot of downside with spending that kind of money on a car. And let's say I get into it and I hate it. I can sell if with a $50,000 car, if I drive it for a little bit, if I buy a new one and drive it for a little bit and don't like it, then I'm going to end up losing probably $15,000 on it. But if I drive this thing for a little bit and end up not liking it, then I'm probably only going to lose $3,000-$5,000 on it. So there's not a whole lot of downside, I feel like, unless the thing blows up on me. But what you guys are promising me is that it's not going to blow up on me.
Not going to happen. I'm willing to stake my reputation. Knock on wood. I should have never said that. David, edit this out. So what has surprised you so far with the two times you've driven an electric car? What has stood out?
Well, the biggest thing that everyone says when they get in Tesla, it's fun to drive. Like, right, the acceleration. My wife doesn't care anything about a quick car, anything about handling. I've had BMWs before. She's drove one of my little, like a 430 series I had that was really nice. Quick, two-door, awesome car. She doesn't care, right? She got into the Tesla today and she's like, I'm very surprised I like this as much as I like it. I mean, she liked the acceleration, whatever, but she, I think she really liked the, it seemed like she really liked the braking too, the non-braking, whatever. She, I think she would get used to that. She also liked a lot of the features that were in it. So I think that she's, this is me saying it today after us just looking at it, but I think she's probably going to like it, a lot of the features of that, or Model Y, if we would get that later on. I think she's going to like that more than even I would. But I like a lot of different cars, a lot of different kinds of cars too. So she wants to get in one and just drive one car. And be used to it. And I think with her having the experience of driving this S whenever she wants to, I think that she is going to be more open to buying a Y later on, and that being her car that she drives. That's my read on her just from today, that today's experience. And that was surprising to me. And it was also surprising that she liked the Model S better than the Model 3, because usually she's more functionality than she is the more luxury, flashy kind of thing. And I feel like the S is more luxurious, and it's more flashy, but it's also just a better ride. And it's obvious whenever you look at the car and the size of it compared to the Model 3, it's just a much nicer car. So that surprised me, because I thought I was going to be more open to the Model 3, and I thought she was going to want the Model 3 more than the Model S. But when we looked at them just side by side, it was like, it's almost obvious that the Model S is the way to go.
I think one thing to do too, for like a cute day with the Model S, so you could put the back seats down, you can fit one of those like full size beds in the back, so that they have a lot of camping stuff for the Model S. So a cool thing to do would be like to go out into like the wilderness or something, and you can have camp mode as well in the car. So you can turn on camp mode, which you know, leaves on the van and, you know, keeps the, it's kind of like dog mode, but it's camp mode, they call it, and it just keeps it climate control. And then the whole roof is glass, and so you can like see the stars while you just hang out and have a good time, you know, put on the stereo, listen to whatever you want. It's just a cool idea, you know, a little bit versatile, especially if you're plugged in as well.
Interesting. Yeah, and we got to do that because we have a five-year-old. We have to get away from him as much as possible.
I've done it before. We've even done it on our road trips. We just like screw staying in a hotel. We just like, do we have a blow-up mattress for the back of the Model Y? And we just blow it up and sleep in it. And it's really pretty. You look up at the stars, it's beautiful.
Yeah. The camp mode stuff is super underrated, because it's literally like you have a hotel on wheels. It's awesome. Climate controlled inside.
And I've stopped at places where everybody else stops in the gas cars, and they have to turn the engines off. And so they're all steamed up, and you wake up and you're refreshed. It's like 70 degrees. It's perfect temperature, no matter what it is outside. Yeah, it's really nice.
Awesome. Dude, I'm so excited to get your reaction. I am so excited. So when are you getting this thing?
Oh, I mean, I saw one today. I wasn't in love with the one today, just because it's from up north. So rust is in my head. So I'm probably going to pass on that one. It was $26,000. But I want to look at 2020s now. And when I find one and it meets whatever requirements, we're just going to go ahead and pull the trigger on it. Hopefully it'll be within the next week, but it's going to be up to what's available in our area. So whenever we find one, we're just going to buy it.
I'm excited for you, man. Yeah, this is exciting. I can't wait. I cannot wait to get your like 1 week check-in, 1 month check-in. Should we do this again after a while, just to kind of like, I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, let's reconvene in a month.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't have this talk on my channel. So obviously, if we're going to talk about it, I'll just come on you guys' channel and do it. Yeah.
Perfect. Done. We'll do a touch base a month after ownership, and then a 6 month touch, and then we'll do something like that, or a 3 month touch or something.
So whenever you guys have questions about a 2002 Ford Taurus, you know who to call, and then I can just talk you through your next.
Dude, book. There was plenty of time in my life when that would have sounded perfect. So yeah.